Hello everyone and welcome to Sports Community Podcast, episode 22. My name is Jonah Vella and along with my co-host, Steve Pallas, we'll be talking all the latest in the world of grassroots sport. G'day Steve, how are you?
Good thanks Joe, how about yourself?
I'm very, very well. We have got an absolute bumper of a show today. We've got some fantastic guests, or a fantastic guest I should say, and a magnificent top nine as per normal. Our guest today is Dr. Michael Ballant, and he is a world champion in 75s and overs master hockey. So we look forward to hearing from Michael on all his experiences. And we've also got a top nine today, which is around a topic that created quite a buzz on our social media, and that's all about how we as parents could wreck our child or children's event or game day experiences just by the way that we behave. So a lot to look forward to in the show, Steve.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the show very, very much. I'm always good to talk to world championships, gold medal holders, which is what Dr. Michael Ballant is, so he's got tremendous experience. But Joe, how's your online training going?
Well, my online training is going well. We are getting towards the end of the online Facebook training modules, which we're developing, and we're hoping to produce online training in how you can use newsletters at your club to achieve your club's objectives. So, you know, not too far away. Hopefully in the next month or so, we'll have that in the marketplace where everybody out there in grassroots sports can partake in a bit of online training.
Yeah, how to use social media to achieve your goals. It should be very good. And I guess you, bringing up social media in this week has been interesting with, looks like Cronulla Sharks player Todd Carney's NRL career is going to be over because of a photo that was posted on Facebook and social media. Sorry, so it's to be timely to get some social media training out there in the marketplace, Joe.
Absolutely. So stay tuned. There's plenty to enjoy on the show today. We're going to be back with Dr. Michael Ballant. You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts Steve Pallas and Jonah Vella. Another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au. Okay, as mentioned at the top of the show, we've got a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Michael Ballant, and he is a legend, absolute legend of the local hockey scene. Welcome to you, Dr. Michael.
Thank you very much.
Joe, I think you might have understated. You might actually be a legend of the international hockey scene, having just come back from the national or international World Hockey Championships, winning a gold medal in the over 75 competition.
That's right. Yeah.
How was that experience in that was in Holland, was it?
Yes, that's right. It was at The Hague, the international competition, similar to the international soccer competition. There's an international hockey competition every 4 years, and the organisers are very good because not only do they have the big international hockey competition, which you can watch on the ABC, SBS rather, and that's broadcast because it really is, after the Olympic Games, the biggest hockey thing in
hockey.
Yeah. But they're very good because they hook on the Masters competitions. And Masters hockey is for any senior people, and it's played in the different levels of over 60, 65. Sorry, over 50 is the lowest, 50, 55, 60, 65, 65 and over 70. And this year, for the first time in international hockey, they had an over 75. Wow. And that was played at the same time as the big competition in The Hague. And we were also in The Hague, of course, not at the big stadium. We were at an adjacent smaller stadium. But it was for us, it was just as exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Did they put you up in the same places as the Australian hockey teams, or were you out separate? Was it
No, we had separate accommodation because it's quite big, because each team, by the time you add on the teams, the reserves, the physios, the managers, and the wives, of course, you're looking at about 30 people in each team.
Yeah.
And Australia had, this time they had an over 60, 65, 70 and 75.
Wow.
Plus the big boys.
Yeah.
So we were in different places, but the 70s and the 75 stayed in one hotel, and the 60s and the 65s in a different one, and the big Australian international team was in another one.
And so what about the town, The Hague? Did they embrace the Hockey World Cup?
Very much. It's interesting that hockey is a very small sport around the world, because it's not such a great spectator sport if you don't know the rules.
Yes.
But there are several countries in Europe that actually have a professional hockey league, and so it's big time. But Holland is the biggest, and Spain and Belgium also have the same. But in Holland, the Netherlands, everybody knows hockey. There was orange bunting up for the team. It was really, everybody was very enthusiastic. You couldn't go into a shopping centre without seeing signs, people approaching you. If we were wearing our Australian hockey team walking out uniform, invariably people came up and spoke to us and discussed hockey with us.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, the journey to get there, how does one, what's the Masters competition at, I guess, at the club level in Australia?
It's the
big? Yeah.
It's big, but it's not that big in that hockey is very popular because it's now played at a lot of schools.
Yes.
So hockey is growing because it is a sport. It's a non-contact sport. People think it's dangerous, but there are very few injuries in hockey, very few contact injuries. But it's a sport that everybody can enjoy. Women can enjoy it. Men can enjoy it at every level and at every age. Now, in Victoria, we have an over 35 veterans and an over 50 veterans.
Oh, wow.
And they're quite big competitions.
Yep.
The Masters are different. We have interstate Masters competitions between the states. So that once a year, there's the over 40, over 45, over 50, over 60, and so on, up to over 70s. And that's been played, the 70s have been played now for a few years. All the others have been played for quite a long time and are very keenly contested. And to get into one of these interstate teams, firstly, you have to be nominated from your club, and secondly, you have to go along to trials, and you're picked out at the trials.
Oh, so it's just like any other age group.
That's right.
Any other age group sport, which makes it such a special achievement to be holding. I'm looking at a photo of you holding the World Cup in your hand. So that makes it such an amazing achievement. Have you had time to reflect back on the achievement yet, or still just enjoying the adulation of the radio show interview requests?
And no, we're very proud of the achievement because this is the first time that an Australian over 75 team has been formed. It's the first time there's ever been an international competition for over 75s.
Yeah.
And the thrill is that we won it. Netherlands, as we said, is a big hockey nation. England is a big hockey nation. And we were lucky enough to beat both of them.
Without conceding a goal.
That's right, yep.
It's hard to lose when you don't have a goal scored against you, no matter what sport.
Right.
No matter what sport. So going back to the grassroots, grassroots level. So you're a member of which local hockey club?
Am I Maccabi.
Oh, Maccabi. Sorry.
Yeah.
You are. Does that have from juniors all the way through to masters?
Yes, certainly.
So from Oh, from the youngest of young to the most senior of our sportsmen,
right,
can all be in the one club together.
That's right.
That must be...
There's a group called Minkies, and the Minkies are the ones who are 7 years old, who play with small sticks and soft balls. But, and you go up from that, then you go up to the under-9s, under-10s, under-11s, 12s, 13s, 14s, and so on.
Wow. And so they're all as part of the one club. Does your club hold itself out to be one club together in competition?
Of course.
So that must be a tremendously family-friendly environment for the family to be involved in. So you'd have all members of the family playing in different age groups.
You could have, yeah. Generally, it's the kids that are playing and the parents come down to watch. But apart from that, those who are actively playing, we've got a women's team, we've got several men's teams in the different sections, it's just one of these regular competitive things, like all the other sports, local community sports, basketball, hockey, soccer, cricket, and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, my... little birdie told me that you were actually the first captain coach of the Maccabi Hockey Club when the club was formed back in 1962.
62, that's right.
Have you been playing with the club all the way through since 1962?
Yes, certainly.
Wow.
I played regularly with the club all the time. At one stage, I had to leave the club because I decided to become a professional umpire, and I umpired in the top competition in Victoria, and that was good. I'd been to Israel with the Maccabiah.
Yeah.
I went across there and umpired internationally there.
Yeah.
And the Maccabiah is where different clubs, different teams from different nations, they've got to be all Jewish teams.
Sure, yeah.
And they come once every 4 years to Israel, and there's a big competition there. And that's great fun because, again, it's serious but not that serious. So everybody gets to be very friendly and it's really enjoyable. And it was great to umpire them as well.
Well, that's what
but
it's all about.
Once I'd given up umpiring, I came back and been playing with the veterans ever since.
So what have been it's a long period of time, but what have been the major changes that you've seen, I guess, at the grassroots level, but then for your sport as a sport, as it's moved away from, as all sports have over that period, from recreational pastime to professional professional industry, really. how have you seen that journey for A, your club, and B, the hockey as a sport?
Hockey as a sport, firstly on just the basic hockey level, has got much more interesting and much more exciting. They've made a lot of changes that make it a more exciting game to play and to watch. The big game at the moment, of course, especially with the World Cup on at the moment, is soccer.
Yes.
And the problem with soccer, of course, is that it's slow and it's a bit difficult to follow with the offside rule. Now, hockey was very similar, and quite a few years ago they dropped the offside rule. So that, almost like Australian rules, you can go anywhere on the field at any time. And this makes it much quicker. They've also brought in another new rule only recently, that when a free hit is awarded, you don't have to stop and take it from a stationary ball. Like in soccer, if the umpire gives a free, you have to stop and kick it. Here, you can play on. You can keep on running with the ball. You can keep going, so that it's really a game that moves very fast. And the other thing they've done is the interchange rule is very sensible. So you've got your team and you've got four or five people on the interchange bench, and they can come on and off at any time. So you can put someone goes on, they really run their heart out for 10 minutes, then they come off and sit on the bench for a few minutes and get their breath while somebody else goes on.
Yeah.
And this way it makes it a much, much faster game, and many more goals are scored. And in the big World Cup, where it used to be 0-0 draws were quite common, here they were very rare. And in our games, there were almost no 0-0 draws whatsoever.
Yeah. It's interesting to be able to reflect on that. Joe in our office is a passionate soccer, a football, a follower of the football round ball code. And I'm just a follower of sport. But the discussions I have with soccer, with Joe, is that there aren't enough goals scored and therefore my mind seems to wander. So it's interesting that...
that's right.
Yeah, it's interesting that in hockey that there's been a noticeable difference in the... Well, to you anyway, in the quality of the game once the scoring...
That's right. Huge difference. And you see, again, you see how at the end of a soccer match the players become very exhausted. And when they're exhausted, it also becomes a bit more dangerous because that's when... You have injuries, people get nasty and cause injuries, people get them from being exhausted.
Yeah, fatigue
comes in. But in hockey, even this happens to a much lesser extent, because if you're tired at any stage, you just come off, have a rest, have a rub down if you like, get rehydrated, go back on again.
Mm. What about the changes off the pitch? I mean, certainly at a grassroots level, the responsibilities and the challenges of the volunteers and just getting the club together every year. I mean, comparing that to when you started the club or helped to start the club in 1962, how have you seen that change over the last 50 years?
Well, the big change, of course, was that sport used to be mainly... fun. It used to be played by teenagers and young adults. What we've realised now is that the most important teams are not the top teams. The most important teams are the juniors.
Yeah.
And if you can get the juniors to play, that's the first big step. But the second big step is to get them to enjoy the game. And if they can enjoy the game, have fun, and feel that they're doing well, they'll stay with the game. And if they stay with the game, that's very good for whatever sport it is all the way through.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other important thing to get them to stay with the game is to get the whole family involved. If mum drops off the kids and dad comes and picks them up at the end of the game and no one stayed to watch him or to join in or do any of the social things, the kids will play while their friends play, then they get bored and drop out.
Yeah.
If it's a family thing, that's completely different, where mum and dad come down with the kids, stay after the match, the whole club has lunch together, the sausage sizzle or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they stay on. Then it's a family thing. And that's the big thing nowadays, with the huge distractions of the iPad and television, to get the kids and the whole family to join in and do things out of doors. It leads to a much more healthy community as well.
Michael, it's Joe here. I just wonder if you could tell our listeners what playing sport in your, with all due respect, your senior years now, what that means to you and also to your health?
Well, for my health, first of all, I know that if I didn't have some incentive to do that boring thing of doing exercise every day, I wouldn't do it. It's a medical fact that people, as they get older, stop exercising. Seniors who do at least half an hour a day of fairly vigorous exercise or 2 half-hourly lots of moderate exercise, it keeps the heart beating. As you know, muscles, if you don't use them, get soft and flabby. Same thing with your heart, with your brain, everything else. If you don't lose it, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's the saying. And this is a fact that you really have to keep active. And if you keep active, you are not only do you live longer, but you enjoy it more. Mm. And I find that if I sit around the house because it's cold and wet and don't go out and don't play any sport, I feel more tired, heavy, put on weight. Whereas if I'm doing things every day and getting out every day, you see the world in a different light and you start to enjoy things more.
I think that's sensational advice and something that we all should aspire to.
Well, and it puts a lot of it puts the concept of master sport right in the spotlight, doesn't it? Not just because of the, us being able to, well, when I say us as sportsmen, because I haven't quite reached that age, but I'm not far behind it. Being able to have an avenue for have that competitive side, but the health benefits of that masters sporting, whether it be at the elite level, like the gold medal of a world championships, or at club level, is so vitally important, as well as the social connection that often people, as they're getting a bit older, lose that social connection as well.
Yes, that's right. It's not only the muscles, not only the physical muscles, but it's also your brain muscle. If you keep active mentally and socially, that's also very, very important. And even just going out regularly, meeting people, for the people who don't and can't do exercise, just going to senior sits, for instance,
yes,
is very good. And you can see a huge difference, for instance, in the nursing homes. Those that have functions and sing-alongs and all sorts of community things to do, the people there are brighter and happier. And where there isn't anything and the people just sit around, it's not good.
No. We've seen... again, it's an area that we're only just starting to get involved with is Masters Sports. But we're seeing the concept of Masters Games spring up all around the country and even around the world now, with, I know, Masters Games being in New Zealand. So is that something that's now coming just as the natural progression of sport, or is it because the baby boomers are kind of getting to that stage where they've got time on their hands and they want, there's more of them than of that age group than normal?
Yeah.
Or do you just think it's the natural progression of sport and the next step in the evolution of each of our sports?
I think it's both, really, isn't it? That people now are living longer, but it's not just living longer, it's being healthy and fit and active longer. It used to be that when you retire, that's marvellous, because then you can just go out and sit in the backyard and read the paper. Whereas nowadays, people realise that they feel good when they're playing sport. It's great fun to go and represent your country and really be somebody that's at the top level. But it's also great fun just to belong to a sport when you're 60 years old and to get out there and to play, do things socially. And I think that's... the reason that it's that we are growing longer, but mainly growing older longer, but it's mainly the fact that we are healthy longer and we can do these sort of things. And the beauty of most of the master sports is that you can play at whatever level you like.
Yes.
So you don't have to go out and really burn around, fling yourself into it, and come off completely exhausted. You can go off and play at your own level. You can enjoy it, have a lot of fun, and then get together socially, whether it's at the pub or at the club, doesn't matter. And you feel good afterwards.
One other thing that I'm... Have you had the opportunity to take your gold medal back to the club yet?
No.
One of the things that I think will be good for you is to take it back to your club. But I think, speaking for us mere mortals that have not had the opportunity to represent their country or compete at the elite level, I think it's going to be very, very inspiring to all age groups of your club.
Yeah, well, of course, that will happen.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's important to take it down, show the juniors, the trophy as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they can see. The thing is, what they can see then is that anybody can get to the top level. That you don't have to be such an elite athlete. It's good to be elite, but you don't have to be an elite athlete.
Yeah.
You can just be an ordinary athlete, plug along, and you can achieve all sorts of really good things.
Yeah, and now I'm going to speak for my age group, which is mid-40s, expanding. You know, when you're talking about the person that wasn't exercising, lose it, don't use it and lose it. Well, I'm kind of...
Yeah,
I know, but that person, and I'm also sitting next to that person too. So, well, he's just laughing at me. But for us, you know, mid 30s to mid 40s year old, where we're kind of thinking our sporting career is over. What you're kind of proving to us is it's far from over.
And what I'm saying to you is really, whatever you like, whether it's footy or whether it's soccer, there's no reason why you can't contact your local club, and almost every suburb now has a local club, whether it's Brighton or Camberwell or Box Hill or anywhere, and just say you'd like to go down and have a kick with the boys on if they have it on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon, and bring your kids down, and it really just to get down to the park, kick a ball around. That's the first stage.
Yeah.
And you'll find you enjoy it, and you might feel that you want to do something competitive as well.
Yeah, and then there's options for it. From just speaking on my own behalf, just having done a little bit of research on the journey there to the World Cup and then talking to you, I really did think that, you know, once you finish your first round of sporting activity, that's it. But you've got me motivated, inspired. I'm interested to see what I'm going to do when I walk out of the thing. But speaking of inspiring...
Really, honestly, everybody should do some exercise. But exercise is really boring. So even if you sit inside on an exercise bike, you've got to have the television going, otherwise you can't stick to it. If you're supposed to go for a run around the park, it gets boring. If you've got a reason to do it, if you go down to the park, you kick a football around, you start to enjoy it, then you'll think, look, I'm getting so puffed out, I'm going to do a little bit of jogging. And if I jog every day, every second day, every third day, I won't get so exhausted when I kick the ball around. Yeah. And you go out, and once you get into this and start doing it and start enjoying it, you'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
And maybe finish up at the Masters World Cup.
And then when you finish up at the Masters World Cup, that means you fly home with your medals and your trophies with the Australian international team.
Yes, if you're lucky, you can do that as well.
How was that as an experience, just exchanging stories of gold medal wins?
Well, it really is great. The top boys were very nice because... You know, everybody's congratulating them. They had a marvellous result. Netherlands are really the top world hockey team, and they beat the Netherlands 6-1 and put themselves up at the top there. And instead of just sitting back and basking, they came over to us and said, how can you still be playing at 75? I couldn't be playing at 75.
So that was what their thinking was, not that, oh, we can hold this team together and win a couple more World Cups in a couple of decades' time.
Yeah, of course that was as well, yeah. But they were being polite, probably, but they're also serious. They're also quite amazed that people of 75 to 80 can still be playing sport. Not at their speed and not at their level, but can still be playing it.
internationally and competitively.
That's right.
Wow. Well, to us, you're an absolute inspiration. To all in your club, you're, I'm sure when they see the World Cup and know the journey and know the story and see the medals, you'd be inspiring. So thank you for coming on our show and sharing your story with us today. It's been...
Guys, it's really been a great pleasure. And thank you very much for asking me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye for now.
All the best. Bye.
Wow.
Well... we should say, Steve, to all the folks that are out there, as inspirational as Michael is, if you are considering getting into sport, and particularly oval baseball sports or field sports, and you haven't been out in the paddock for a while, like my good self and my co-host here, it is probably a very wise thing to go and see your GP before you go out there and just get a bit of an assessment before you get out there and play sport, and that way you can manage yourself back in and get some more enjoyment out of it. You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas. If you've missed a couple of our episodes, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, and there you'll find all our previous podcasts that you can download. And while you're there, give us a review, so you can help spread the news about Sports Community and its services to the Grassroots Sports Club. Okay, time has come for our famous top nine, and we take an issue that is challenging sports clubs at the minute, and we dissect it and see if we can come up with ways to overcome it. And this one, Steve, this week is a particular interest because there's been quite a bit of activity on social media around this particular topic, and it's all as a result of an article that came out that claimed that up to 70% of our kids are being lost to sport because of the way we act as parents. So we're going to have a look at the top nine ways on the back of that article to ensure that our kids' game day is as comfortable as we can make it for them.
And enjoyable.
And enjoyable.
Absolutely, Joe. Okay. And if you want to see the article that we're talking about, it's on the Facebook page at Sports Community Facebook page.
So it's had something like 100 and something shares from our page, which is unparalleled in our history. Goes to how important this is for everyone out there. So the first way that we can make our kids' match day experience or game day experience more comfortable and enjoyable for them is to have them there early. Now, this sounds like common sense, but there'd be a lot of parents out there, and we see them, that don't follow this simple tip.
May even fall into the category myself, Joe, as a parent, where we're hustling and bustling and trying to get everything organised, may have other kids. But the anxiety that it creates being late, you know, if the coach tells a kid that they've got to be there at a certain time and they're clearly not going to be there, that creates a lot of anxiety. And for a lot of kids, they don't have the ability to hurry the parent up. So it creates anxiety and creates stress and creates frustration. It creates all sorts of things that are just needless. By being a little bit more organized as parents and getting the kids there on time, so it can be a very relaxing time when they get there before the game. And the kids have got time to socialize and have fun rather than just get straight into the gear. So,
absolutely. Now, number two in our top nine ways to ensure that our kids' game day or match day experience is enjoyable is to keep them well hydrated and fed. Again, another one that you'd think is just common sense, but one definitely my time of being involved with football clubs, soccer clubs, and that's over the course of 30, 40 years, I've seen this more often than not, where kids turn up and they haven't got water bottles, they haven't got anything in the way of hydration, and this can cause all kinds of problems, headaches, all kinds of fatigue. It's just something that we should ensure. We make sure that we're packing our kids away with water bottles, hydration, and we're feeding them before they go out and play their games.
Yeah, and before they even get there as well. We often see kids turning up to Saturday morning local sports now that haven't had breakfast. And again, maybe that's an organisational thing, but it has some significant issues for the kids if they aren't well hydrated and well fed, Joe.
And I think you touched on something very important before. We're not here to, you know, we're not here to point fingers or anything like that. This is not what this top nine's about. This is just tips that we've learned and often are guilty of making these mistakes ourselves and as part of the learning.
We call that experience.
We do call that experience. All right, number three in our top nine ways to make our kids' match day or game day experience more enjoyable and comfortable is to make sure they've got all their equipment organised, including their uniform and their bats and their balls and their boots and shin pads and all that kind of stuff, all ready before they go to their game.
Well, probably, Joe, we probably should have said before they go to sleep the night before, to be honest, because... Again, it's about reducing the amount of stress and frustration and anxiety for the kid. And often kids don't put things away, Joe. I've got three daughters and
adults.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about kids. But yeah, and they don't put things away. So on match day, when you're already running late, refer to point number one, get there on time and get there early. But when you're already running late, If your gear and your uniforms all over the place, it's very, very easy to forget something. And if we forget something, that often means that the kids can't play. Like if we forget their helmet or their mouth guard, if they're playing a competitive sport, that often means that they'll be unable to play that day. So that's again, that creates the stress and anxiety. It's not fun, and all of a sudden there's yelling between the kid and the parents. So we've started off with four very, very simple things, but four things that in a kid's world create a lot of pressure, stress, and anxiety. So we want to take those away, and it's very easy to get them there on time, have them well fed, and get them and make sure their bags are packed and they've got all the equipment ready to go the night before the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you take those three in conjunction, and if they're, like you said, if they're late and if their equipment's not organised, which causes all kinds of conflict, then they're likely to forget to hydrate, and there's probably no time to be fed, and you've got an absolute disaster on your hands. So,
well, it's not fun.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
Yeah. Number four in our top nine ways to make sure your kids' match day, game day experience is enjoyable and comfortable is no pre-match pep talks. Leave it to the coach. So what we're talking about here is, you know, often parents and guardians on the way to the game might indulge in a little bit of, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, make sure you do this, make sure you got this covered, make sure you got that covered. And that is a surefire way to absolutely make the experience absolutely scary for the child. So parents do have the right to sit down and talk about the experience with their child, but it should be done in a positive way. Otherwise, leave it to the coach. Leave the match day stuff, tactics, those kind of things to the coach.
Yeah, and the parents' discussions should be about enjoyment and the fun side of sport and the tactics and the games and how the kids can improve. And the tactics, yeah, as you say, Joe, leave it to the coach.
And that really is our point number five, which is parents should focus on fun and enjoyment and reiterate the spirit of fair play. So, you know, before you go out and your kids are going to participate in a game or some kind of match day experience, you reiterate to them that you can't always win, and if you should be, if you do lose, make sure you do it in a sportsperson type way.
Respectful.
Be respectful to your coach. Be respectful to the people around you. Be respectful to the umpires and the referees, and reiterate those facets of the game day experience, and keep it positive, as opposed to continually challenging your child to beat their opponent or to win at all costs, and those kind of challenges that do put your children on edge. Okay.
Well, I think in that situation, I think if we can change the focus away from winning and losing to the way in which we compete and yes, that the
participation.
Yeah, and the enjoyment actually comes out of the competing and doing the best that we can. Now the scoreboard will take care of itself, but as long as we compete in a really positive manner, whether we win, lose, or draw, there's a lot to be gained out of that. Certainly, a lot of enjoyment, a lot of pride, a lot of respect, and a lot of great times. And so, if we move the focus away from the scoreboard, to the way we play and to the competition side of it, and enjoying what we're doing. It's going to be a lot more pleasurable for the kids.
Okay, number six in our top nine ways to make sure that your child's game day, match day experience is both enjoyable and comfortable is, if you are going to talk to your children before or after the game, and you're well within your rights as parents to do it, then make sure you ask and don't tell. So what we mean by that is seek feedback from your child as opposed to telling them what they did wrong or what they may have done better or, you know, what was wrong with the umpiring and those kind of things. See, ask them about their opinion and their experiences in as part of their match day.
Yeah, how did you enjoy the game today? How did you play? How did you enjoy playing on such a good player if they got beaten? How did you enjoy the experience of playing on a new ground against a new team in a new position and let the kid, your child, talk about their experience and not have us as parents lecture the child on what we think they should be doing, because at the end of the day, if the kid's really enjoying it, even though they may not have played well or they may not have done well or their team may not have done well or they may not have had a good day, then that should be fantastic. But the concept of engage and discuss as opposed to lecture and dictate is really, really important, and we see quite a lot of parents quite regularly feeling like they're doing the right thing by their kid by directing them and instructing them and telling them on how they should be playing, but really the kid had no interest in that, in playing in that style. All they want to do is go out there and have fun. So we've got to make sure that we don't put our values and goals and aspirations as parents onto the kids and understand where theirs is coming from.
I think that's a really, really key point there that you've just touched on, Steve. Is one of the ones that was really resonated with me as I read this article was that a lot of parents live vicariously through their children. And it's their goals and objectives that they're trying to achieve through their child. And that's something that as parents, we all need to be careful of and keep in mind when we're talking to our children about their sports game day, match day experience. Mm. Okay, number seven in our top nine ways to ensure that our kids' game day, match day experience is both fun and enjoyable and comfortable is to understand that kids have a downtime after or even sometimes pre a game where they just like to sit and reflect on what's happened and not to interrupt it. So one of the issues that was brought up in this article that you can see on our Facebook page is that a lot of parents spoil a kid's match day experience on the ride home in the car. And what they mean by that is that parents will turn around and they'll dissect the game and tell the kid what they should have done better. And when all the kid really wants to do is just sit there and just reflect on what's happened during the course of his or her match day experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important learning from that research, Joe, was that many, many kids just hate and loathe and fear the car ride home because they're going to get the lecture of the parents on how they should have performed. And if we go back to the previous point, the parents will be lecturing about how they think the kid should have performed, but the kid often just wants to play a game of sport with his mates, his or her mates, in a competitive environment. So regardless of their own performance or win, lose or draw, so the kid's often thinking that they've had a really good day, but the parents are saying, well, you should have done this. And this is where that concept of the kids saying, I can never make you happy, comes from. Because the goal of the kids is often to have fun and compete and play with my friends against other people my own age is completely different to the parents, which is you must improve, you must get ready to get into the next representative team and you must win. We must win. They're just so completely different. And that's why that misalignment of goals creates so much anxiety. So that's really important for parents to understand that and to make sure that car trip, where effectively you've got the kid trapped. The kids are trapped and they have nowhere to go. They can't ignore you. They can't move out of the way. We've got to make that a really positive place. If the kid wants to talk about the game, absolutely, that's fine. Let them guide the discussion. Let them talk about it in the way that they want to, not you give your values and opinions on how they should have played.
Okay, number 8 in our top 9 ways to ensure that your child's match day experience is fun, enjoyable and comfortable. And this point was touched on by our previous guest, Dr. Michael Bullint, and it's all about being involved in your child's match day or game day. And that could mean getting down there, taking photos of their game, video, making sure you get down there and support your child as they play their sport. Because as he said, it is one of the greatest ways to ensure that your child continues to play sport, because your child can see that you value their participation.
Well, one of our guests from a couple of weeks ago, Shiloh Curtis from the AFL Women's Football League, she was saying one of the unintended consequences of the women's game exploding in AFL was that fathers and their daughters were just getting a lot more closer. And
absolutely.
So you know, you can treat local sport like a babysitting service, but it's so much more valuable and so much more enjoyable if the parents do get involved in it. On one proviso, Joe, and that is number 9.
Number 9, which is our top nine ways to ensure your child's match day, game day experience is a positive one, is to refrain. Refrain, we cannot emphasize this point enough, from negative sideline behavior. Do not become an ugly parent. Do not criticize umpires or referees in front of your children. Do not tell the coach how to do their job. Do not barrack loudly in a way that intimidates other children that are playing, even if they're on the especially if they're on the opposition side. You know, you're the parent. You need to demonstrate to your child what it means to be a good person, a good sports person, and someone who respects other people that play sport. So, sideline behavior, good sideline behavior, fair play, respect is imperative.
Well, one of the things that parents forget is their kids are watching them. And often the behavior of, not often, sometimes the behavior of parents is really tremendously embarrassing, Joe, to the kids. And again, often that behavior comes about because there's a mismatch between the values of what the kids are playing and the parents. The parents think win, 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 win. And so when you're thinking win, 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 then a decision of the umpire becomes important and the decision of the coach becomes important and all these things that happen during the game and the competition become important. But if, like the kids, majority of the kids, they're just there for competition, to compete against people their own age, to have fun, to play with their mates, in their world, a decision going the wrong way or playing in a different position to what they would normally play has absolutely no consequence. So we need to remember that as parents. But yeah, I think most of all, if parents behave or take the position of behaving in a way that would actually make their children proud of them, and encourage and support, become involved, but in a positive manner, and celebrate the competition and the fun and the socializing aspect rather than just focusing on the winning, I think it'll be a lot more enjoyable for a lot more kids. So, interesting top 9, Joe.
Interesting top 9, and let me just go over them for the listeners once more. Top 9 ways to ensure your club, your child's match day, game day experience is fun, comfortable, enjoyable, is number 1, have them there early. Number 2, keep them well hydrated and feed them before they get to their game. Number 3 is make sure all equipment is organised, including uniforms and shin pads and bats and balls, preferably the night before. Number 4 is no pre-match pep talks, leave it to the coach. Number 5 is parents should focus on enjoyment and fun and spirit of fair play when talking to their child about their game or their match day experience. Number six is ask, don't tell. That's all about not dictating to your child, but soliciting their feedback on their match day experience. Number seven is don't talk to them on the car ride home. Allow them their downtime so they can take in what's happened. Because your kids know whether they've done well or done badly. You don't need to be telling them all the way home in the car where they just can't escape. Number eight is to make sure you're involved in their game day experience. Get along, take photos, be involved. It's, you know, there's many people that have been on the show that can attest to the power of involvement in your child's sport as a way to keeping them in sport for the rest of their lives. Number nine is to refrain from being an ugly parent by displaying ridiculous sideline behaviour. And I suppose inherent in that particular point is the point that Steve's touched on a few times in this discussion, is to make sure that there's a match between your expectations and the expectations of the child, or conversely, no great mismatch between your expectations and the expectations of the child. So the child just wants to, more often than not, get out there and have fun, and you should make sure as a parent that you respect that. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. If you've just tuned in and you like what you've heard and you want to catch up on previous episodes or replay this one, then visit our podcast page at our homepage, sportscommunity.com.au. And there you'll find all our previous episodes for download as well as show notes. And while you're there, subscribe to our newsletter for the latest and greatest in grassroots sports news. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher, but don't just listen to the episode. Why not subscribe to our podcast feed so you can automatically be updated when a new podcast is available? And give us a review so we can improve what we do. So on behalf of me, Joe Novella,
and me, Steve Pellis, thank you for making us part of your sports community.